Has anybody here ever witnessed a miracle? Raise your hand. It's kind of a tricky question. Can take that many different ways. For those of you at home, you can raise your hands too, even though we can't see you, but go ahead. But hang on to that thought on seeing a miracle. Because you know, when we hear this beautiful and very familiar gospel of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, man, wouldn't it be great to have been there in person? To not just hear about it, but to see the miracle for ourselves. If only we could be witness to something that is almost too good to be true. Now, in all honesty, some scripture scholars of different thoughts will try to explain away Jesus' miracles. And maybe you've heard this before. For instance, you may hear a theory that Jesus walking on water, well, he was really just walking on a sandbar. Come on, really? Why try to explain away Jesus' miracles? Or some, in regards to today's gospel, will say, well, it wasn't that anything was really multiplied. It was more of a miracle of generosity where everybody gave of what they had. And sure, sharing to that extent would be a miracle of sorts. And undoubtedly, people were generous with each other. But that doesn't take away the miracle. And I want to begin by sharing that because I think it's important to understand the magnitude of everything Jesus did in this gospel. And also understand that his miracles are meant to point us to something greater. To sure look at that moment and the uniqueness of it, but then look for what's beyond. I can't help but think of the 48 children who at 1 o'clock this afternoon will receive their first Holy Communion. How providential that the gospel reading would be this one. And as I was preparing that homily, I thought to myself, man, some of this stuff might be good for the adults to hear. So I didn't copy that homily, but there might be some carryover. And as I just mentioned, all of Jesus' miracles are meant to point us beyond. And so, but first, what do we learn about the moment, about the scene that we heard now with the multiplication? I think chief among what we can take away is we learn about God's love. And in particular, we are shown how abundant God's love really is. Here you have Jesus, who has just found out about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, a man that we know Jesus loved very much and saw as integral to his ministry, the one who pointed the way. And in response to the news, Jesus is looking to get away. He wanted to be alone and just process what happened. But as is so often the case, the crowds wouldn't leave Jesus alone. They press in on him, asking for healing, for miracles to be taught and to be fed. And I don't know about you, but my reaction probably would have been, just leave me alone, having a bad day. Got some bad news, I just need some space. But instead, Jesus, who I'm sure was grieving at least to some extent, can't resist the cries of the crowd. And as we sang in the psalm, the hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. In that moment, Jesus put aside his own loneliness, his own sadness, his own preoccupations to sit down and give the people what they needed. Comfort, healing, nourishment, listening. Quite simply, he loved them in that moment. The extent to which he loved them is then seen in the miracle. A seemingly hopeless situation with worn out and tired disciples, a starving crowd, and a worn out Jesus. Seems like nothing good can come from that. What to do? Well, just trust Jesus, because in all things he had him under control. In the most dire of circumstances, the bread and fish are multiplied to feed the thousands and have leftovers. So you see, God's love doesn't just sustain, it's not just enough, it's not only good enough, it's overflowing, beyond measure, more than we can imagine. And what beauty and what comfort comes from so great a miracle. A miracle that continues to this very day as we gather around this table to be nourished by the Eucharist. The most important thing we will ever do in our lives is receive Holy Communion. Think of all the important tasks that we do in life. We pay the bills, raise children, love our spouses, take care of others. That list goes on. Yet this is still far and away the most important. And for our brothers and sisters who have been watching at home and are watching with us, that's why the act of spiritual communion that we pray every time we live stream a Mass is so powerful, because under these difficult circumstances, this is how you are being fed by the Eucharist. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Alphonsus Liguori, they teach that spiritual communion produces similar effects to that of sacramental communion, according to the disposition of the person. And so God's love is so abundant that he even provides for us when sacramental communion can't be possible. And so in that moment of the miracle, we see the abundance of God's love, and we look beyond to how that love has provided for us down through the generations to this very day. And that's what's so hopeful for our first communicants and for their parents. From this day forward, Jesus is going to be present and operative in their life in a new and powerful way that'll never end. It's forever. It's eternal. And maybe we have some memories of our first communion that we can look back on today. Maybe think back of the weather, who the priest was, the parish, whatever it might be. But reflect on how God has loved you so uniquely on that day, and how really our lives were never the same after that. Everything changed. And surely, the lives of the disciples who witnessed the miracle in today's gospel were never the same. And so, back to the question I opened with, have you ever seen a miracle? Every single one of us can raise our hands, because what happens on that altar at every single Mass is a miracle. Not kind of a miracle, or it's a miracle. And so who here has seen a miracle? Everybody at home too? Good. This is miraculous. We partake in it so often that sometimes we might lose sight of that. But this is the abundance of God's love. The multiplication, the feeding of the thousands, the feeding of us. God's love changes us for the better. And so the question that I'm going to leave our first communicants with is the question that I want to leave all of you with. What will we do with God's love?